This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. And I'm starting this morning with an additional welcome to the McCabe Pilgrims, who I'm told will be listening to this programme as they travel from Douglas to their first stop on a six-day pilgrimage exploring the Celtic Christian heritage of our island. And by happy coincidence, their destination this morning is Macleod, which is where we'll be going on the programme shortly to talk to Reverend Dr. Ian Foles, an acknowledged expert on the life and ministry of St. Macleod. Our visiting pilgrims will join in this morning's service in Kirkmacleod at 10:30. So I thought we'll start with some familiar music that I hope you can all sing along with as you travel.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden's all play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
Aled Jones and Nell Bryden and Morning Has Broken, wishing a blessed time on the island for the McCabe Pilgrims with their pilgrimage leader, the Very Reverend John Mann. Heading now to Macleod Parish Church, which is exactly where I went earlier this week to talk with my first guest, Reverend Dr. Ian Foles, a priest in the Anglican Church who is also a historian and who's made a study of the island's patron saint, St. Macleod. And Macleod's heritage will be explored and celebrated in a whole week of events starting next Saturday, the 26th. Ian, welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Judith. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Ian, what do we need to know about Macleod?
Well, in medieval times, Macleod became a symbol of forgiveness, really, because he was a really evil person, supposedly a murderer, a rapist, not the sort of person that you'd have wanted to meet at all. I mean, never mind on a dark night. And of course, the story goes that he intended to murder St. Patrick, and St. Patrick saw through the plot that he was hatching. Fortunately for Macleod, he escaped that particular problem, but he repented of his sins. He was baptized by St. Patrick. Because of his wickedness, he was put to sea in a coracle, and Patrick said to him, "If the Lord is with you, you will land somewhere and you are to spend your life there praising the Lord and spreading the gospel." And so, of course, he eventually arrived at the Isle of Man. We don't know how long the journey took, but some of the manuscripts do tell us that he was terribly seasick by the time that he got here, which we can imagine, because the coracle had no sail, it had no rudder, he wasn't allowed to take any food or water, so he must have been completely dehydrated, exhausted, and at his wit's end by the time he arrived. But before stepping into the boat, he said, "I put my trust in the Lord," which is something that we can all do, isn't it, really?
It is. The fact that St. Patrick let him go, you know, he could have just had him executed there in Ireland and dealt with the whole thing.
Absolutely.
So it's such a faithful thing for Patrick to do. Let's see what the Lord has in mind for you. So he's washed ashore here. And what happens next?
Well, what happens next, we are told in one of the stories. I mean, it's a very late story, so we have to be careful how we interpret all of this, because some of it is going to be true, and a lot of it probably is embroidery. But we're told that there were two bishops here, which suggests that possibly a church on this site was acting as a mother church for the island, what we might call today a cathedral of some kind, in 450 when we think he arrived. But the story is that they took him in, they educated him in the faith, and from being a really wicked person, he became a tremendously holy person and eventually succeeded them as Bishop of the Isle of Man. So it's a real story of repentance and forgiveness, something that we can all empathize with. And around the turn of the first millennium, coming up to the 1000s, we have crosses here, which we can identify as being from that sort of period. And the manuscripts that we have that survive from that sort of period are really telling us that Macleod is a tremendous role model, because of the fact that he was terribly wicked, but even as a murderer, even as a rapist, even with all the other sins that he committed, that he could be forgiven. And this became one of the most copied stories throughout the medieval period. And if I tell you that the Book of Armagh, which is one of the early Irish manuscripts, which tells the whole story of Patrick, who's the patron saint of Ireland, almost 10% of that story is about Macleod. Now, I find that quite extraordinary. Here we have the patron saint of the Isle of Man. He became known as the protector of the Isle of Man. His story is told again in a slightly different way in the Chronicles of the Kings of Man.
But the core of it, this repentance and forgiveness, that's the thing that's important.
That, exactly so. We have some recorded words of Macleod. One is, "Nothing evil can enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, he actually said that. And he also said, "I put my trust in the Lord." Those are two things that resonate for me.
Let's just for a moment reflect on what we know from this site where we are having this conversation.
Actually, in the 5th century, when Macleod arrived here, it was probably the starting point and the end of lots of journeys because of the sea. And the sea was the main highway, so we had people leaving here, going to England, going to Ireland, going to Scotland, going to Norway, and similarly arriving. So it was a place of journeys.
Not surprising, then, that when we go outside and when we walk around in the old graveyard that is adjacent to the church, we see the remains of these keels, these little chapels visible. So this tells us that not only was it a travelling centre, but also that it grew up into almost, is it reasonable to say, a sort of monastic settlement?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think historians now accept the fact that this was the most important monastic site on the Isle of Man. I mean, it was here long before Rushen Abbey, so it would have been a Celtic monastery, similar to Irish Celtic monasteries like Clonmacnoise. And the keels that we have were probably originally built as sod chapels, sod or wood, and rebuilt in stone, probably round the turn of the first millennium.
Where was Macleod buried? Because somebody who has such prominence in the community, his death must have been hugely significant.
That's right. It's a great puzzle. I think he was probably first buried in one of the keel sites. And it may be that the church that we're sitting in now, which is built on the site of a keel, that it became selected for the mother church, the most important building on the site, because of the fact that Macleod was buried in this place. And I think as the centuries rolled on, and looking at the way that other saints were buried and translated into more prestigious positions, I think we probably can imagine that something similar took place here, so that the body or the remains would have been moved from one place to maybe to another, and maybe finally to the right-hand side of the altar as we look at it here today. Fenella Logan did a very interesting architectural study of the church a few years ago, and she came to the conclusion that the south wall of the church, which does bend slightly as you look at it towards the east end, may represent either a side chapel that was built at that end or the possibility of a wall tomb. I like to think, without any shred of evidence, I have to add, that the most likely person to have been inserted into a wall tomb in this area would have been the reliquary or shrine of St. Macleod, and I think that that is probably where he ended up, just before the dissolution of the monasteries. But of course, it all comes back to faith, really, doesn't it? We're talking about Macleod. He's not the end in himself, because all the saints were pointing towards God. They were pointing towards Jesus. And it's that element that is still so important for us today as we remember their journey of faith. They encourage us to make it our own journey of faith as well.
Now, if you've been listening to this and you're absolutely fascinated by what Ian has said so far, pop into Macleod Church, because it's open every day and though is on sale for the sum of just £4, an excellent book that Ian has written. It's very well organised in its information and very, very richly illustrated, and that's always helpful. Really does tell you all the extra little bits that we don't have time to talk about this morning, because we're going to talk about St. Macleod's Week, packed with literally something for every possible taste. Now, why are you doing this, Ian?
Well, we're drawing attention to the fact that St. Macleod is the patron saint of the island. This isn't just a parish event. We hope to encourage people to think more deeply about their faith, to think more deeply about their Manx heritage, also to think about the possibility of doing something different. You know, we've been talking a little earlier about pilgrimage, and there are lots of opportunities locally. We do have people who are coming, who are rediscovering the joy of walking, the joy of discovering our ancient heritage, walking with a purpose, walking to think about new meaning in their life, how things can change, how you can get over disappointments and failures, and perhaps look for something quite different. You know, I like to think that St. Macleod offers us a beacon of hope. A long time ago, but it's still worth connecting with.
I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. By invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. Of whom all nature has
there's no less than 20 special events packed into St Mackle's Week, starting next Saturday the 26th with a gala garden party in the beautiful grounds of Carrick House at Portlaoise, by kind permission of Mrs Barbara Whip. Because of the sheer quantity and variety of events, it would be bewildering if I was to try to tell you about them all now. So I urge you to look out for the flyers that are circulating all around the island, or take a look at Kirkmackled on Facebook, where you'll find the whole programme, every single event described in detail. Go to facebook.com/Kirkmackled. And my thanks to Reverend Dr. Ian Folds for joining me this morning, and he'll be very happy to welcome you to all or any of the special events celebrating the heritage of the Isle of Man's patron saint.
I bind unto myself today the virtues of the starlit hem, the glorious sun's life-giving.
St Patrick's Breastplate, that version by Kame with Heather Innes and Jacinth Hamill. Now I have a question for you. Where would you expect to find seahorses, turtles, sharks and starfish all mixing happily together? Full marks if you said Port St Mary Beach Mission, and bonus points if you already know that this year's Beach Mission starts next weekend. Run by Scripture Union with its headquarters at Malmore on the Promenade in Port St Mary, the Beach Mission offers sessions every weekday made up of games, crafts, drama, fun challenges, music and interactive Bible-based activities appropriate for each age group. There's also opportunities for discussion for the older teenage groups and an optional outing for which a small charge is made. Apart from the outing, everything else on offer is completely free. And the man who has travelled over from Scotland to be at the very heart of the Port St Mary Beach Mission for many years and will be once again this year is David Stewart. I caught up with him when he was over here recently doing some preparation for this year's event, when he reminded me that the Beach Mission is celebrating a very special anniversary this year.
This is 125th anniversary this year.
That is amazing. A huge amount of commitment, but also it shows that what you're doing is popular.
Yes, that's right. And we've always looked at things and we've always changed what we've been doing. The core of what we're up to, it never changes. But the way we deliver it changed over the years. So we've always looked to see, you know, every year, is that relevant anymore, some of the activities that we do? And so, you know, we don't throw everything out, but we do make changes from time to time. And people who have been involved for years will see some of the changes. There are some things that never change. And things like Santex, interestingly enough, we find that if for some reason it's not on because of the tides, then people are complaining. Why didn't I get my Santex this year, you know?
And I'm not asking you to explain what Santex is, because you're not allowed to give too much away, are you, about Beach Mission?
No, I'm not. I've got to keep some of these things quite close to my chest. Yes. So.
But the essence of it is a great couple of weeks for young people during their summer holidays, isn't it?
It is, yes. So we've got activities really from zero right up to 17, and including adults as well. So there's just about something for everyone.
One of the new things that I remember was having something for babies and their parents or carer. Now, that was quite a new addition, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. That's the sort of thing that we've done. And we've juggled around the age groups as well, and we've created extra ones. So, yes, we've put in the zeros to threes, which we call the starfish. That's another thing. We changed the group names from time to time. They were for quite a while after sweets, and then some people were saying, "Whoa, you're encouraging children to be eating too many sweets." So we thought, yeah, fair enough. Let's just change them. We'll change the groups. It's about time you give it a bit of refresh. So we have the zeros to threes. That's the starfish, and that's with parents and carers, and that's on in the afternoons. Well, the next one up from starfish, which is seahorses, that's the 4 to 5 year olds. Their official time is in the afternoon, 1:30 to 3:15, but they're encouraged to come as a family, come with a parent or carer to the beach service, which we have every morning. Then we've got the 6 to 7 year olds, the turtles. They are 10 till 11:45, and again their afternoon session is 1:30 to 3:15. As the age groups go up, you get a wee bit more. So again, you then the next one's the narwhals, 8 to 10s. They are 10 till 11:45. 1:30 to 3:15, and then every Wednesday they have an evening session from 7:30 to 8:45. And then we jump to the 11 and 12 year olds, and again they're the same as morning session, afternoon session, and then they have an evening 7:30 to 8:45. That's Monday to Friday. And then you get to the even older ones, the Deckers. And again, they're the two sessions, and they've got their evening one, 7:30 to the later time of 9:45.
David, these need a lot of volunteers. So how do you pull together the people that you need for this?
Well, again, this is another way that things have changed over the years, because originally when it was set up, this was a mission to the holidaymakers. And really, local people were, in a sense, discouraged, you know. It was very sad, but that's the way it was. You know, lots of people used to come from Liverpool, Manchester, Glasgow, these places for their summer holiday. That's what the mission was put on. But then, sadly, the Manx tourist industry has changed in its character. There's less and less families coming over. So now it is a mission, a beach mission to local people. And again, where it used to be that the team used to come in from the adjacent island. And then back in the sort of late 80s, when we took over the leadership of it, we started to encourage local folks to be involved. And now we're about 50-50. So, with, you know, 50% of folks are on island, another 50% come over. And we've got a core of people who make it over every year, and we've got others who come maybe just for 1 year or 2 years. It's a big commitment for many people, but it's a top priority for them. So we're very, very grateful. But you always find that coming on the team at Port St Mary does make a significant impact on your life.
So the actual dates, David,
27th of July to the 8th of August. So that should be Sunday the 27th to Friday the 8th. And yes, the first Sunday we'll be taking the service at the Methodist Church, and folks will be at the other churches in the port. And same will be again on the middle Sunday. The website is psmbm.im. So it's quite simple. Or you could search on Facebook for Port St Mary Beach Mission. On the website, it's got the contact details. The website will have a registration form, very important to get folks registered in advance. But again, if you suddenly find out that, you know, you've got some children, grandchildren, who come at the last minute, you can bring them down and get them registered on the day. But it just makes it easier for us. You don't need to come every day. You can just come one day. You can come the whole week. It doesn't matter. There's no cost, apart from we have a day out, and we do charge a little bit for that, but otherwise, it's all free.
David Stewart, thank you very much indeed for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Judith. Much appreciated.
And as David said, the Beach Mission team will be in Mount Tabor, Port St Mary Methodist Church, leading the service there next Sunday, the 27th, at 10:30, celebrating 125 years of Beach Mission in Port St Mary and marking the start of this year's Beach Mission. everyone's welcome, and that website address is psmbm.im, or go to Facebook and search for Port St Mary Beach Mission. And Facebook is where you'll find everything you need to know about another very popular beach mission, and that's the one in Peel that starts on Monday the 28th of July, with sessions every weekday on the beach near the kiosk at 11:15 and 2:30. Facebook is the best way to follow this year's Peel Beach Mission, as it gives daily updates and news about special additional events in other venues in Peel. And it's where you'll find information about where the daily session is being held if the weather should be wet. So go to facebook.com and search for Peel Beach Mission. And just before we take a look at this week's notice board, a reminder about the Alpha events in St John's Mill tomorrow evening that my guest Anna Watson was talking about on this programme last week. Anna, who's the Alpha Relationship Manager for the North and Midlands, will be delivering two free sessions, one designed for anyone interested in running this very popular course in basic Christianity for young people, and the second session for anyone who wants to run an Alpha course for adults or who's already running an Alpha course and would like some help to make it better than ever. Run Alpha Youth and Grow Alpha are both at St John's Mill tomorrow, Monday the 21st, starting at 5:30 for Alpha Youth and 7 p.m. for Grow Alpha. And free tickets can be claimed via the website alpha.org.uk/events. And now let's see what else is on the notice board beginning today, Sunday the 20th. The annual Friends of Onchan Heritage Service will be held at Abbeylands Chapel at 3 o'clock, with Reverend Rebecca Ingruel, reader Carol Bairstow, and organist Mr. Andrew Smith. Refreshments will be served afterwards, and everyone will be made very welcome. And there are more chapel anniversaries being celebrated today. Orrisdale Chapel celebrates their 182nd anniversary this afternoon at 2:30, with guest speaker Derry Kizak, BEM, along with Simon Bampton and Austin Pegg. And the chapel is located on the Orrisdale Loop Road, north of Kirkmichael. Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett will be celebrating two chapel anniversaries today. At 3 o'clock, Ballykilferrick Chapel will be celebrating their 175th anniversary, and this evening at 6:30, it's the turn of the Howe Chapel in Port St Mary to celebrate their chapel anniversary. And of course, there's a warm welcome to all for these special services. On now to the week ahead and concert news. St Thomas's Church off the promenade near the Gaiety Theatre here in Douglas have an hour of music from Castletown Metropolitan Silver Band, conducted by John Collings, on Wednesday evening at 7:45, with free admission, delicious homemade cakes afterwards, and a retiring collection if you'd like to donate. On Thursday, this week's concert in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin will be given by the Blue Train Saxophone Quartet. It starts at 7:30 with free admission and a retiring collection. Also on Thursday evening, there'll be a variety concert celebrating the life of Alan Wilcox. It's in Alan's home church, Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount, here in Douglas, starting on Thursday evening at 7:30, with free admission, light refreshments, and a warm welcome for all. And that's all for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock, opening the virtual lounge door and inviting you to join me for easy listening music and your requests and dedications, and I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.